golden bursts. But after only a dozen rounds, the weapon stopped with the bolt thrown back, showing the clip was empty. Raking the Hummer with sporadic bursts, Dean concentrated the whining chain gun on the Secman with the M60. Sparks flew off the armored body of the military transport, but nothing more. The 7.62mm rounds were unable to achieve penetration.
Aim for the tires!
Mildred placed her shots with care. Clutching his chest, the big man in the Hummer cried out and dropped the M60 over the side.
Already dead! Must be puncture-proof like our own!
Rummaging in the pile of supplies, Doc was unable to locate any more ammo clips for the Kalashnikov, so he dropped the useless blaster and drew the Lama, waiting for a suitable target to present itself. Just then, the Hummer deliberately slowed, and a lone man jumped out, carrying a short plastic tube. As the APC bore down on the man, he extended the tube to a full yard in length and pointed it toward them.
That's a law!
Christie started to fishtail the wag to make them harder to hit.
Hold us steady!
Ryan thrust his long blaster out the smashed obport and fired a fast five times at the stationary target. The Secman staggered from the multiple impacts and toppled over. Promptly, there was a bright flash on the ground, and something streaked across the road to disappear in the distance. As the APC thumped over the body, Ryan quickly reloaded his rifle. That rocket would have blown the APC apart, but the Blues couldn't use the anti-tank while still riding in the Hummer because of the backblast. Launching a Law rocket spewed a 15-foot-long cone of flame out the back end. The backblast would have fried every one of them alive. Leaving the WAG had been a gutsy move that nearly succeeded. Their adversaries had guts, and that alone made them truly dangerous. In a deafening explosion, Doc fired the Lama. The buffeting concussion slapped the companions, but the spare gas can strapped to the side of the Hummer erupted into a fireball. Screaming in pain, the Blues beat at their burning clothes with jackets, and Christie plowed straight into the pool of fire, coming out the other side in a heartbeat. The Blues weakly began shooting again. They were toasted, but still alive, and the Hummer wasn't seriously damaged. One of the Blues threw a lump at the APC, and the war wag shook as something exploded under the prow.
Chemgren, we better hope they don't have any thermite. That would melt our hull like candle wax.
Payback.
Jack switched the selector switch on the cannon to its top position. A stuttering stream of shells chugged from the muzzle, the barrage of 25mm rounds tearing up the surface of the road as he tracked the fleeing vehicle. Stoically, the Secmen maintained fire with the Kalashnikovs as their blackened wag darted off the road and into a field of wild corn. The tall stalks swallowed the vehicle whole. Inside the wag, the floor was coated with hot brass shells that poured from the turret. Her hair a wild corona, Christie shifted levers, and the LAV executed a sharp turn, two of the wheels leaving the ground as it angled after the fleeing Blues into the abandoned farmland. Straight ahead was a solid wall of sun-dried corn stalks. There was no sign of the Hummer or its crew. Behind them, the fire on the road was starting to spread to the dry plants.
Where are they?
The APC plowed through the wild corn, crushing the brittle stalks beneath its tires. It sounded like a million winter leaves rustling in a strong wind. Ryan dropped the spent clip from his Sig Sauer and slammed in a fresh one.
Circle to the right. We must have passed them.
Look for the smashed stalks of their trail.
JB started for the rear of the wag.
Everybody keep a watch for any loops. They might try to swing around and get behind us.
Unexpectedly, the shortwave radio lashed on top of their bedrolls began to crackle with the transmission, the words barely discernible above the background noise. There were just a few hastily barked commands, then hissing silence again. Stepping close, Doc turned up the volume to the maximum. The normal static boomed in the confines of the wag, and after a few moments, he lowered the volume to its normal level.
They're trying to call somebody for help. Most disconcerting.
Can we tell which way? Triangulate on the signal?
Still watching their wake, JB shook his head.
Not without special equipment, dish antenna and such.
Damn.
They had to be close. Ryan shifted his stance against the shaking of the floor.
Christie, go left!
The woman obeyed, and the signal faded.
Go back!
She sent the APC as ordered, and cried out in delight as they found the path of flattened plants. Hitting the gas pedal, Christie steered the massive transport straight along the slim trail, the unbroken stalks on either side spraying into the air from the passage of their much wider vehicle. As they followed a serpentine curve through the corn, the Hummer came into view once more. Struggling with the hot breech of the chain gun, Dean fed in a new ammo belt. At his father's command, he raked the Hummer. A blue shirt loading his blaster cried out and dropped the weapon, almost falling from the Hummer. The others hauled the corpse back inside and used the dead man as a shield, firing from behind his bloody form. Then a bulky satchel came flying over the Hummer from the front seat and landed squarely before the LAV.
Shit!
Christie yanked on the steering levers, sending the LAV into the unbroken stalks to their left. The world seemed to shatter from the titanic force of the detonation, blinding light flooding in through every port, and the war wag shook as it was slapped by the gigantic concussion. Ropes holding the supplies snapped, and the piles of boxes toppled over, burying JB and knocking Jack out of the turret. He hit the floor sprawling and went limp. The crackling radio clearly gave a report to somebody about a satchel charge of C4 being used. Results unknown.
I'll give you unknown.
Christie shifted into high gear, making the massive machine go faster. The dry cornstalk shattered as the APC streaked across the field, the big engine screaming. The muscle stood out on Christie's arms as she worked the levers, forcing the multi-ton wag into a tight arc, swinging back the way they had just come. A few seconds passed, and she spied a dark blotch moving amid the cornstalks directly ahead of them.
Go for it!
Ryan braced for the impact. Grimly, Christie held the course. At the last moment, the driver saw them suddenly looming close and screamed in horror. Then the Hummer disappeared from sight below the prow of the LAV. The companions lost their footing as the nose of the war wag went high, aiming toward the sky. Underneath the floor was a terrible crunching noise, mixed with high-pitched shrieking. The APC tilted at an angle, almost flipping over, then leveled out and was back in the corn again, riding on even ground. Breaking to a halt, Christie returned to the crash site and stopped a short distance from the flattened wreck. Stepping from the rear of the APC, the companions approached the destroyed Hummer, warily walking over the crushed corn stalks to avoid the pieces of broken machinery and twitching meat. Gore-splattered limbs jutted from the smashed chassis, red blood and gasoline dripping from a dozen spots. An eye lay on the ground near the splintery stock of a Kalashnikov. Shards of glass from the windshield were sprinkled across the corn stalks like diamond dust. Circling around the site, Ryan found a SEC man dangling out of the crumpled metal, still struggling to get free, in spite of the fact his body was shredded below the waist.
Help me!
Blood welled from the man's mouth at the words and dribbled down his chin. Ryan came closer, a hand on his blaster.
I'll end the pain. Just tell me where your home base is. Who's your leader?
There were more questions he wanted to ask, a lot more, but those were the most important. Where and who?
Help me!
Where is your home base?
Drooling blood, the man blindly reached out a trembling hand with only two remaining fingers.
He can't hear you.
Ryan turned.
Mildred?
The physician shook her head.
Fair enough.
Drawing his blaster, Ryan put a 9mm round into the dying soldier. The man jerked at the impact and went still. Ryan holstered the piece.
Let's go. There's nothing here to salvage.
Doc sniffed the air.
And we had best hurry, my dear Ryan. I think the cornfield is on fire.
Dean spoke from the turret, squinting into the distance.
Yeah, and it's coming this way, fast!
Moving quickly past the remnants of the Hummer, the companions climbed into the APC and took seats. Settling in, Doc began the lengthy process of reloading his Lamar, while Mildred checked on the unconscious Jack. The teen was lying on a bedroll, a wet compress on his bruised forehead. He had received a small concussion from a falling ammo box, but otherwise seemed undamaged. Ryan slammed home the bolt.
Let's go! This corn is burning fast as a fuse!
Starting the engines took a few tries, but Christie finally got the diesels to turn over. A slight shudder was detectable in the floor as she struggled to slide the stick shift into neutral. As the wag rumbled forward, a nasty grinding noise came from the engine. It became steadily louder.
Fire blast, we do have damage. Must have been that damn satchel charge. No chance to fix it now. Keep going!
Fluttering his eyelids, Jack tried to speak and began to cough. Dampening a cloth with water from a canteen, Mildred turned to the youth and saw gray tendrils of smoke rising from the nearby vents. Dropping the canteen, she tried to slide the vent covers closed, but they were firmly jammed in.